Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have just heard Matthew's telling of the story of Jesus Christ's baptism. The way Matthew tells it, baptism feels like a momentous event that occurred at a distinct moment in time and at a distinct place and in the company of specific people. It has all the qualities of something that might happen to you or me. But then things get a little, shall we say, out of the ordinary. Just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Until this moment, the story was concerned with normal things. Jesus and John had had a conversation, and even if that conversation involved unusually weighty matters, it is normal enough to have a conversation. And then John baptized Jesus. And to be sure, the ritual of baptism is not something that happens every day. But still, it is something that we humans are at least reasonably familiar with, the idea of being involved in a religious exercise that marks a rite of passage. We do this kind of thing, right? We have baptisms and christenings and marriages and bar mitzvahs and funerals. We don't do them often, but we certainly do have a cultural context for understanding when they happen. But this business of the sky opening up and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, that's new. We know what to do when we get up to the register at the Hannafords. And we know that after a touchdown, the kicker comes out to try for the extra point. We know to say hello when we pick up the phone, and we know that there are rules about traffic lights, that red means stop and green means go. Since we encounter these conventions in our daily lives, we understand and know what to do with them. But as I said, this business of the sky opening up, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, of whom I am well pleased." We don't have a cultural framework to comfortably explain this kind of phenomenon. It's outside of our frame of reference. And this quality of being outside our regular understanding is, I would suggest, a religious quality. Things that we easily understand are tame. They obey our minds, but things that do not obey our understanding of the world, things that do not obey our rational understanding of how things are supposed to be, these things, perhaps, are religious. They do not obey us. They are beyond us. And there's something else about this story. A very small detail that I think is very interesting. Most of the story is told as if it is something that is happening to Jesus. Jesus and John talk. Jesus gets baptized. The sky opens up. A dove descends. A voice speaks from heaven. The story is told as most stories are told. A person, in this case Jesus, is doing stuff, and stuff happens to him. But there is one small detail that may suggest another way of looking at this story. Let's listen again to the text. It says, "Just as he came out of the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove." When we read this passage with the emphasis on the personal pronouns, we see that there is actually nothing to indicate that anyone else, other than Jesus himself, was necessarily aware of this whole business of the heavens opening and the descending of doves. Sure, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. But did anyone else? We don't know. So this could have been a personal experience. Well, I've always thought of the baptism as a kind of momentous event that was witnessed by a multitude of people standing on the banks of the Jordan River, because the story is surrounded by passages in which John is exhorting the people. But if you read the gospel accounts carefully, the only two people who are definitely present are Jesus and John. And as I've already pointed out, the pronouns are third person masculine, suggesting that the person who's doing the perceiving is Jesus himself. No one else is necessarily even aware of the heavens opening, the Spirit descending, or the voice from heaven. But so what? So what if we can't be sure if anyone witnessed it besides Jesus? What difference does it make? Am I suggesting by this that the whole thing may not have happened? Am I on some kind of atheist rant proving that Jesus, after all, was nothing special because no one witnessed the baptism, and so maybe it's all just a big scam? No, no, of course not. You know me better than that. My job is not to disprove the story of Jesus. It's not to prove it either. It's to deepen our experience of the story. And the thing that is remarkable about this reading of the baptism is that it shifts the emphasis of the story. Now we don't need to read the story as a hard to understand religious turning point in human history. Now we are free to read this story as a hard to understand religious moment for Jesus. It's not something external that happened to Jesus. It's now something personal, something internal that happened in Jesus. And this, I suggest to you, is a deeply meaningful reading of this passage. We're not talking about an immense shift in the history of the world, necessarily. We're talking about the turn of one great soul to God. And when we talk like this, we can identify more readily with the experience of the baptism. When I was 44 years old, my father died. And I've been thinking about this recently because in some ways, my father's death was similar to Archie's death. The medical particulars were not similar at all, but what was similar was the timing. A complication arose. He was taken to the intensive care unit, and in 3 weeks, he was gone. And during that time, I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote some more. As my father declined, and after his death, I was writing as if to save my own life. And the following passage comes from my journal at that time. I wrote, "I feel I am walking barefoot in the aftermath of an earthquake. This is a seismic time in my life. Everything feels shattered. It will take a long time to rebuild. The very foundations, the beliefs, and the assumptions that have defined my understanding until now are being altered. I am broken open. Any order that arises will have within it a germ of this disorder. This is a hard lesson, a beautiful lesson, a mysterious one. Death is like that heaven opening and the dove descending. There's no easy way to frame it within our understanding. Holding my father's hand as he took his final breath, I was broken open to a new reality. This reality could not be tamed by the intellect. It could not be contained in a spreadsheet. All the explanations that had been sufficient to give me an understanding of the world were now revealed to be utterly insufficient. Something unknowable had worked its way into my body. This was a hard to understand religious moment. I knew that nothing would be the same again. And it was at this time that I turned to God. Not a God of comfort necessarily, but more a God of mystery. I saw this mystery from within. It was now a part of me, a kind of exciting, unpredictable humility. And I started going to church. At first, I was just there to help my mother to make sure that she didn't slip on the ice. But very soon, it became more than that, much more than that. It was a community, it was solace, it was reflection. And when my mother also died, the church became a place of support, a place to find glimpses of that new mysterious part of me. And then I started preaching and felt the call to become a minister. I applied to and was accepted at Yale. And then when I walked into the chapel at Yale, the skies opened. I experienced for the first time in my life, worship that was full of joy. The experience was radical, surprising. The vigorous participation, the astonishing music, the confident liturgical timing, it all nourished in me ways that were entirely new and exciting. It was a revelation. It felt like I could give myself away to the joy. Broken open by pain, I was prepared to give myself to joy, which I call today a kind of baptism. Broken open by pain, we are prepared to give ourselves away to joy. And here, God finds us. Amen.